what my group does is broader than predictive analytics. It's great to use models. We use it fighting fraud. But in effect, what my group does is it goes beyond predictive analytics to using analytics to frame strategies. So, for example, on identity theft fraud, it's not so much about creating a new model or a new tool. It is about that, but it's also about creating a strategy that holistically eradicates the identity theft fraud altogether. So we're looking at authentication and how to test those kind of models. We're looking at what are our internal policies, how long do we hold a return before we pay a refund. We're looking at other authorities we might have in terms of accessing data. So it's a strategic approach that is amplified by using data and analytics, of which predictive models are a part.
Now, a lot of what people talk about when they talk about data and data analytics is what's the business need or what's the business process. At the IRS, you guys have seemed to figure out that it's not the, hey, we have all this data, let's use it. It's how do we make our services better, how to make them safer, how to ensure that the money is going to the right people. I mean, is that the thought process behind why your organization was set up in the first place?
I was brought in by the previous commissioner to basically take analytics to a new level, which is really tying it more to strategy and operations than to the just an analytics answer or a piece of analysis. And that all becomes strategy always begins, to me, as this operations, with what outcome do we want? You work backwards from what outcome do you want to how am I going to get there? How much can data and analytics solve that problem? In the end of the day, data is a raw material. Analytics makes it into a product, but the product has to have a name or a use. And that use has to be an improved outcome or an accelerated outcome of some sort.
I think that's a great analogy, because a lot of times if you think about it and put it to something in our everyday lives, something like oil is the raw resource. You got to put it into something which is gasoline, but the outcome of gasoline is to run your car to get you someplace faster. Are you guys seeing that benefit in the end? Are you getting to someplace better, faster, cheaper?
Yeah, we are. In fact, I think I would go beyond sort of gasoline and cars, because at the end of the day, you're really talking about energy sources, right? The real strategic question is what are the appropriate energy sources for what uses? In terms of fraud, and we've stopped billions of dollars of fraud annually for the last 3 years, in terms of identity theft in particular, but also fraud more broadly, the improper payments with EITC, we took an entirely new approach, which is lower burden for taxpayers and focus more on preparers. That's generated more than $2 billion over the last 3 years. We've ventured into the small business underreporting arena for the first time ever, and we've seen billions of dollars of improved voluntary compliance there as well.
Talk about the impact it's having. You talk about a lot of the stopping the fraud, but how's it changing the way the IRS works? You talk about business operations and strategy. Can you give me some examples of where this predictive analytics, or even further, this idea of using data to make better decisions has come into play?
Yeah, we have two objectives. The first objective is obvious, which is improved outcomes. The second objective is less obvious, which is to develop a data-driven decision-making culture. And in fact, what I think is really important is that if you run analytics separately and you run operations separately, where you're going to wind up with is an analytics organization and an operations organization, the two shall only meet by throwing things over the fence, not a productive model. Productive model is to embed both operations and analytics together and work together to solve a specific problem. And that sometimes involves multi-years of testing or multi-years of sort of implementing. So our role in the organization, surprisingly enough, is not, well, we're an analytics organization. Our role is, in fact, threefold. It's strategic, it's analytic, and it's implementation. And that's very unusual if you think about it in the government, as well as other places, where those things are linked in one organization. But they have to be, because we have to do that in order to work well with the operational people.
You're not on an island. Your staff, for instance, goes into the business areas and works directly with them to say, hey, here's a problem. How can we solve that using data, using analytics, using these tools to reach whatever strategic outcome you want, which is up to the business owner, not up to necessarily your office?
Right. And sometimes we'll help reframe what the business outcome we're looking for is, right? So it'll either be broader or more narrow in a given instance. But often it'll be accelerating the business outcome by using analytics. And the model really is an embedded model, if you use that term, right? If we embed the teams together, what you're getting dual benefits. The first benefit is you're likely to all agree on what you're looking for. The second is you're gonna get there faster. And the third ancillary benefit is that by doing it together, you're creating a culture where people are valuing and see the value of using data and how to use it, so that you're not constantly calling on a specialized unit, but you're doing it yourself.
When you set up this organization, or when the IRS set it up over the last few years, was finding the right people hard? Because, for instance, a lot of times what I hear is we got to take people for that used to be systems administrators, for instance, and have them become data scientists. And not maybe the one-to-one, but replace the systems administrators, because everything's in the cloud now, with those new people who can do something different. How hard was it to set up your organization? Were you able to find the people to do this type of analysis and then work within the business structure?
I think you can find all manner of skills. The question is, what's the right mix? And if we define it as data, you're going to wind up with data without analysis. If you define it as great modelers, you're going to have analysis without somebody taking care that the data is correct. Or if you're doing project management, you're going to have people who can manage processes, but they don't have the wherewithal to manage the output. So you need to put those skills together, right, in a team, and you need to build that same kind of capability inside operations for the kinds of problems that operations should be solving by themselves.
How does your organization work? Do people come to you with problems? Do you find problems? Does it come down from above where the commissioner says, this has to be taken care of, figure it out?
Yes, yes, and yes. And there's one particular operational leader in the IRS who said that our model is sort of like we're bringing them a puppy. In the short term, it's going to be a lot of crap and a lot of pain, right? But in the long term, there's great benefit.
Was there a big culture change? Did you have to get the operations, the business people to understand the benefits that your organization was bringing? Did you start small and then go to bigger projects, meaning show value quickly?
We started small. For 2 months when I first started, I did nothing besides ask questions, partly because I didn't know tax administration. But for 2 months, it was asking questions, and we started small. And the key was demonstrating value. And the demonstrating value is, did you deliver something new and better to the bottom line in substantial proportion? So we all agreed at the time, the commissioner and I at the time, and since, that my organization looks at the really big problems. And by doing that and showing progress, as I said before, like whether it be fraud or EITC, you get people to believe in things. You get converts into the value of data and analytics.
Talk about what those converts have mean, because obviously a lot of times when things happen like this, it's a snowball effect. Oh, you use them? What'd you think? Oh, I love them. Oh, I got to use them. I mean, you kind of get that word of mouth that builds up, and then you get a lot of work that comes your way.
We probably have more requests for work than we can handle. But then again, I think our role is not always to do the projects ourselves with the business at the time, but sometimes just to give advice or saying, here's a structured way of going about it. Why don't you try it? So our role varies from the light touch to the heavier touch. And I think that's very important, just to know when and how you want to use the analytics organization at the top. Ultimately, which is why the second objective is most important, you want to build that analytical culture so that it becomes second nature. Everybody's using and appreciating analytics.
From other agencies who are starting to look at this idea of using analytics for strategy, and I think we're seeing that a lot. There's a new A11 guidance that talks about risk management from OMB. There's been a big push on big data and the big data tools. How do you recommend, or what's some of the lessons that you've learned to set this organization up, and what can other agencies learn from you?
One, I think you need the right level of skills and in this organization, right? And you need a leadership that sort of will buy into the paradigm I just outlined, which is sort of the partnership between operations and strategy and central. Two, you really do need senior leadership. And in my view, the kind of work that we do can only be done with leadership at the top and reporting into the top. Third, you need budget, but budget, frankly, flows from the work. And so it doesn't start our discussions. What starts our discussions is what needs to be done, how are we going to organize around it. And I think it's important in some cases to mix inside talent and outside talent to really jumpstart, because the ability to be ask hard questions and reframe things is in fact harder to do if somebody has been in the business for a long time. It's not endemic to the way they operate today.
Where are you going next with your office? What are the next set of goals or tools or capabilities that you want to bring to the IRS?
Well, we're always looking for new tools in the fraud area, for example. I mean, while I've said it's more than models, the tools are increasingly important, because I liken it to an arms race. We are no longer dealing with the one-offs and the folks watching cartoons doing identity theft. We're looking at organized rings, right? And they have sophisticated tools. They're getting more sophisticated. We have to get more sophisticated. We've moved from simple rules kind of models in that area to more complex rules, to clustering, to linking of the clusters, to a new approach we're going to try this year, which is bizarre. It's called return DNA, which I won't explain to you. But it is an arms race. And in a fundamental way, we have to keep investing in tools. At the same time, I think we really need to invest in people. And the critical variable here is we need to train the people to be problem solvers, not just analysts. And there is a distinction in my mind.